Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with physique development coach Mia Ferguson. Mia and I spoke about pros and cons of competing, hunger and contest prep, and what it means to build a competitive mindset. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much, and as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now on to my conversation with Mia. Mia Ferguson, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to speak with you. I mentioned to you when we set up this conversation that I have spoken with two of your co-coaches at Physique Development, and I'm really, really excited to speak with you too because I assume you all share a similar philosophy. But of course, I want to hear from you. What's the main thing you're excited for our listeners to learn today?
I am excited for the listeners to learn that fitness should fit into your life and enhance it and not take away from it.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. That's a wonderful message. And I know we're going to dissect that a little bit, but why don't we begin also by you telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got to the coaching position that you have at the moment and into competing?
Yeah, of course. Okay. So, I'm Mia. I have been in fitness since I was 17 years old. So when I was 14, I ended up developing a pretty severe eating disorder, and that, put me down a path where I was not doing well for a good amount of time there. And coming out of that, the only thing that I was quote unquote cleared to do within exercise was weight training. And as someone who had been a lifelong athlete, I rode horses for 17 years, which I was also allowed to do that. But I was also a swimmer. My parents were triathletes, so I competed in a couple triathlons when I was a kid. Did surfing, track, you name it, I probably did it. And so not having that activity piece was really, really, really hard for me. And so I was like, all right, well, if I'm only allowed to do weight training, I'm going to be the best at weight training that I can possibly be. Ended up learning that that was actually how you could change your body. Dove really deep into like very informative, at the time it was like Jeff Nippard podcasts and stuff like that that I was listening to and watching, and found out about reverse dieting. Ended up reverse dieting myself up pretty high in food from like a very, very low point within my ED. And then from there, got to a place where I was at like 2,300 calories and was like, I don't think I should be eating more than this. I don't know what to do though, so I'm going to hire a coach. And I hired my very first coach with $300 in my bank account. I believe that she was 275 a month way back then. And so hired her, got my first job as a server, and I was like, I'm going to make this work. Like I need this right now. Like I'm going to make this work. And so I ended up signing on with her. It was Lexi DeYoung. If you are familiar at all, she's passed away the last couple of years, but she was ended up becoming one of my really, really good friends through that experience, changed my life. And then I ended up going to one of our mutual friends' shows within competing. The first year that I hired her, saw the girls on stage of like, damn, I want to do that. And Lexi, being the wonderful, responsible coach that she was, said, that's amazing. I will absolutely get you to a place where you can prep, but I'm not going to prep you because I don't have the credentials for that. And I'm like, bet, like, let's go. She ended up coaching me to a point through college where I then went off to Alex Bush, my current coach and my first competition coach. He took over from there, coached me through my first competing season, and I got addicted to that. And throughout that time frame, I decided that I wanted to go into exercise and sports science because I started this whole journey at 17. Originally thought I was going to vet school, got into the classes that I needed to do to go to vet school, and said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go into exercise science. Got my degree in exercise science, and through a bunch of certifications, getting my degree, all that sort of stuff. Then ended up applying for a job with PD, ended up getting that. And now I work with Alex and Sue, and that's been an absolute dream. But yeah, it just kind of snowballed into I'm going to become obsessed with this thing and change my body into I absolutely love this and I want to do this for other women and help them step into their power as well.
Wow, so cool. Thank you for sharing that background story with us. And I love how you used your eating disorder history actually to be an even better coach nowadays, I can imagine. And just it makes you more relatable to other people as well, even if they don't have an eating disorder, but maybe disordered eating patterns or even just battling with hunger and all these kinds of things. So very, very cool. And I'd love to hear from you. In your personal experience and now also working with clients, what are some of the pros and cons of competing in general?
So with competing, it's something where I always tell people, if you can get talked out of competing, you should not compete because it's a very, very high level sport. And if you go in and you learn all of the things about it that are going to be really, really hard and that, are going to suck, and you're like, oh, but that won't happen to me, or like, oh, like I'll probably be fine. You are talking yourself into it more than you're getting talked out of it. And if you go into it and you're like, I've heard all of the things and I'm okay with it, that's when you're like, okay, you're doing this for more so the right reasons, I would say. And that's kind of how I was at first, because obviously coming from a background of having an EDU, it's something where it can be really, really, risky to go into a competition prep. And for me, I was like, I see that risk and I like it because I want to prove to my past self that she is no longer able to take control of that, right? That I'm going to go into this and I'm going to maintain control over food, over my relationship with my body, over all of that sort of stuff. And so I would say the cons would be that if you are going into this and you are expecting to get to that stage lean look and get to keep that, you are going to be sadly, sadly mistaken because can you improve your body composition through preps? Absolutely, if you're doing it the right way. I firmly believe that. But 99.99% of people cannot maintain within, 5, 10 pounds of their stage weight healthfully. That's just not something that can happen. And I give that disclaimer because I am someone who, like, I'm not within 5 to 10 pounds of my stage weight, but I just maintain a little bit leaner. My, metabolism has its own thing that it does, within, just being able to eat quite a bit of food. But most people are not going to be able to do that. And I was not able to do that until, like, a long, long time down the road when I built muscle and foundations and, corrected my hormones and all that sort of stuff. So with that being the case, I would say that, downsides are going to be that, like, if you go into it and you are not prepared, you can really, really, really mess up your relationship with food or your body or your body image. It's not going to improve that. It can counteract that. Some, benefits to it, I would say, and some, like, bright sides on that would be that, like, if you go into it with the proper mindset and you take it for what it is and you look at it as I'm loving the process, not just the stage, you are going to learn so much about yourself. I have like a million notes in my phone for my first prep where I'm just like writing things down that weren't even relating to prep, but I would just get these like universal downloads and I'm just like, yeah, like I'm like doing cardio and I'm reinvigorated for like a new idea or something. And I'm just like so locked into that process that it allows you to kind of take that structure and build off of it into everything else that you're doing in life and like how you can kind of like grow within all areas. And that was really, really amazing. And then it also just shows you your own capability because especially if you go into this and you like, you've done a diet maybe, which I would recommend doing a diet before going into a prep, but you haven't done a prep. Prep is going to challenge you in ways that you never expect. And so that's something where you're going to get through that first prep and you're going to be like, I did not know I could do that, because there will be days when you wake up and you're like, I don't know if I can do everything that I have to do today. I vividly remember my first prep waking up one day and like my legs felt like rocks. And if you've been in prep, you know what that feeling is just your legs feel like absolute rocks and you feel like you can't move. And I genuinely remember I was like, I don't know how I'm going to train. I don't know how I'm going to hit my steps. I don't know how I'm going to do cardio, but I have to do it because we have X amount of days until this show. Like, it's got to get done. And getting done with that day and probably going to sleep at 7 p.m. and just being like, I did it. Like, I made it through the day. I hit my food. I hit my steps. Like, I did the dang thing. And you never forget that feeling, if truly, like, you could do the hard thing. It's so possible.
Wow, I have so many thoughts on this. So, firstly, I love the real talk that you have with yourself and with people that want to potentially compete beforehand. I think that that is so crucial to just clarify, like, how much do you really want it? And if it's only like, oh, maybe, oh, that's a nice thing, oh, whatever. Yeah, probably not the sport for you. And then secondly, to the pros, I think, I mean, we by now know, and everybody talks about like doing the hard thing and so on, but I do believe that what you're saying is like that's a hard, a next level hard. It's not just like you're not just doing, quote unquote, just doing the diet part. You're not, quote unquote, just doing the hard training. You're doing both of that. And then on top of that, handling life, trying to optimize sleep, trying to literally optimize every single piece of your life in order to facilitate that proper adaptation. And I mean, we are like literally working against our body when we're doing that, because your body does not want to be that lean. It is not healthy by no means to be that lean. And so I think that's really the hard part that you're talking about. And I'm so curious, so when you went into your first gaining phase, or maybe your first reverse diet after the the first show that you've done. I'm curious how you personally dealt with the acceptance of I'm not as lean anymore. I don't look as good as I have in the mirror when I was prepping or when I was at very, very low body fat percentage and so on. Because I mean, the majority of the people listening are not going to be competing or have never competed, but even they, and myself included in the past, are afraid of gaining body fat back or gaining it full stop. And so yeah, what was some of the things going on in your mind and what were some of the strategies that you used to still push through it?
So my very first gaining phase that I went into, that was kind of like post my ED, and that was probably the gaining phase where I put on like the most body fat, so quote unquote. And to be so fair, I was in college, so like I was doing a gaining phase, but also I was drinking on the weekends, and also I didn't really know that much about nutrition, and like I was just kind of like living my life, right? So I probably put on a little bit more body fat than I quote unquote needed to in that gaining phase. But it was also something where that was very freeing because it was a time period when I was not so focused on what my body looked like. I was more so focused on the experiences I was getting to have. Because throughout high school, having an eating disorder, like I did not do anything, right? Like I was pretty much school, I would go to sports practice, I would go home. Like I did not live life. And so that first year of college, and pretty much only the first year because then COVID hit, so that was super fun for me. But with that first year of college, like I was really just leaning into like I have this amazing friend group. Like I love what I'm doing here. I'm working at the school gym. I'm getting to meet people. I was also like doing some side work with some of the sports training teams. Like I loved what I was getting to do rather than just like what I was looking like. And so I feel like it's not like it's I don't want to say that I was distracting myself from what I looked like, because I wasn't, but it was something where it just didn't matter because I was honestly just so fulfilled in other areas and I was focused so heavily on other areas. And I also knew that everything was temporary. And that was something that my first coach, Lexi, always told me, was she was like, hey, we're doing this right now, but like just like you are, you know, in a gaining phase right now, just like you might be putting on body fat right now, that does not mean that we cannot lose it later, right? And that does not mean that we will not go into, you know, future phases where you're going to look this way or that way. You know, we're doing all of this to get to the end goal. And so for right now, we have to focus on this. And so, and she was totally right about that. I think one of the best things that I ever did within that was go through that gaining phase and then go through a cut afterward and see that, like, oh, it is all temporary, like it all doesn't matter, right? Because in the mini cut after that, like I literally just won. It wasn't hard at all. Like, you know, food did not get low, cardio did not get high, and I saw a drastic change in my body composition, which was great to see. And so that was awesome for me to just be like, oh, like that was one, so worth it. And two, not really that bad, because when I look back at it, like look at all the results I got because of this. So that was point one. And then over the years, just like looking back and having gone through multiple reverses and all of that sort of stuff, it gets so much better as you get better at it and as you get better at like the whole fitness thing and, you know, just repeat process after process. Every single reverse that I go through, my body composition looks so much better. And every single like direct growth phase I go through, my body composition looks so much better. And so just again, seeing that sort of reward is a real good mindset shift for you to be like, it's gonna like continue to improve, but you have to do the hard thing. And there are days that you're gonna be mad because your, you know, shorts are fitting a little bit tighter or something like that. And that's just something where you have to kind of like power through in a sense and be like, hey, this is worth it, right? And you know, you are doing this intentionally, because it is also a major privilege, is the other thing that I will say with that. So that's kind of the approach that I've taken with it. The other thing that I will say is that I push a lot of food in my growth phases. I'll usually be like maintenance, I'm somewhere around 400 to 425 carb or so. Growth phases, I'll get up like above 450 to 500 or so, in terms of like just my carbohydrate intake. And so like calories are really, really high. And I found that for me and the women that I coach who have to get that high, a lot of the mindset shift within that doesn't necessarily come from what their body looks like, because you don't notice on a day-to-day, you know, it's very small changes if you're doing it properly. It more so comes from the aspect of I am eating so much food right now. I don't think that I should be eating this because Sally, that I know from the gym, is eating 1800 calories and she's gaining weight, right? So, like, how am I eating 3500 right now? And that's like, you know, something where I should be eating less, or oh, I'm bloated, my stomach is distended, and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, all right, sometimes we're gonna have to push food. And just because someone else's body responds to a certain intake does not mean that that's how your body works. Your body might just need more to like just be alive, and that's okay. It doesn't mean anything about you or your value as a person or how you look, because you could be absolutely shredded on 3000 calories and that's just your body. So yeah.
What a great reminder and message really for anybody at any stage and any age. And I think I would add to that that not even just not to just compare yourself with other people, but even like to our past self. So for example, Mia, I work with a lot of women like in their 50s or so also. And quite often I hear like, oh, you know, that's what I used to do like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and now it's not working anymore. Like, yeah, your life was different then. Your stress levels were different. Your activity level was different. Your hormones were different. And sure, we like having ourselves as a reference is a better reference point than somebody else for sure. But nonetheless, you 20 years ago is still not the best reference point. You know, we just need to look at right now also. But yeah, I'm really curious. Because you mentioned maintaining roughly at, you know, 400 carbs or so, in the growth phase, even 500 or higher. So in your lowest, or yeah, when you were prepping and carbs got the lowest, or in general calories got the lowest, and I want the listener to take this with a grain of salt because these are your macros, but just so we can see the big swing between like a growth phase and a cut, and like how low did carbs get, and then on the other side, how did you get 500 plus carbs in? Of course, I'm sure you have to really focus on optimizing digestion during that time in order not to overly stress your body.
So one, competing has helped a lot within just like being able to utilize food to my advantage and like leverage that really, really well for the digestive piece, which is awesome. So a little bit of more background on me through my eating disorder. Obviously a lot of people will end up with this. I had a lot of hormonal issues after the fact. And coming up during the time, this is not the fault of like me or my first coach or anyone of the sort. At the time, it was just kind of like, oh, you get your period, you're good. Like you're good to go. Like you're healthy hormonally, awesome. And so when I was coming out of my ED, it was just like I got consistent cycles. And so we were like, amazing. Like you're healthy, you're perfect, amazing. And so we just kind of ran with that assumption. I never really pulled lab work. It was just kind of like, oh, like it is what it is. Coming out of my first prep, I had a really, really hard rebound in terms of like I didn't I was this is hard because I'm not trying to flex when I say this, but I am trying to say I was perfect on my reverse. I did not go over one single macro. I was on point and responded very, very well up until about like 12 weeks post show when the scale started to just rapidly increase. My body was like not feeling good. I was very inflamed. Like it was just not a good time. Flash forward, we kind of traced it back to realizing that I never had really corrected the hormonal issues, did not really have an ovulatory cycle, and my thyroid was all messed up. I have a family history of thyroid issues. And so we eventually got to the point where I decided to go on HRT after that fact. And I'm very happy with that decision. It has transformed my life. I love it so much. I will sing it praises all day. And so after getting my hormones corrected and back to normal levels, that definitely impacted how I was able to handle things. So during my first prep, it was by no means bad, but my second prep, absolutely insane what you can do when you optimize your hormones is the point that I'm getting at there. So my first prep, I think I was at like 5 times a week for steady state cardio. And then I had like 2 10-minute HIIT sessions incorporated on top of that for cardio. And I think my steps were at like 15,000 outside of the cardio that I was doing. So quite a bit there. And my food, the lowest that I got was actually like 1,400 calories. And that was not for very long. We ended up reversing into my last two shows, which I'm grateful that that was able to happen. I brought a better look with that too. So that, that was pretty good in terms of my food intake. I was happy with that. My second prep, however, do not take this, listener, as anything that you should expect for a prep. This is just something where, like, again, when you get things into a good spot with your body, you can really accomplish a lot. I did not have any cardio. My steps were at 12,000, and my food, the lowest that it got was 1,700 for calories.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, which is insane. But that was awesome. But then also we have to consider that, like, with my off-season highest calories being like 3,500, 17,000 or 1,700, Jesus, 17,000 would be a hell of a lot. 1,700 is quite a drop off from that, just, in consideration for everything there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good paint picture to paint if someone else is maybe gaining at 2,400, then you know their calories might drop as low as 1,200, or that might feel the same as what it felt like to you. But yeah, so I guess let's talk about strategies when it comes to optimizing digestion, both for in prep and a cut, And also in a gaining phase when you have to flip switch completely, because I guess in one situation you're trying to feel fuller, eating more for volume, etc. And in the other situation, the opposite end of the spectrum. And I find people have a hard time converting that. And initially, sometimes when they go in a gaining phase, they just add more of the oats or more of the beans and more of the veggies, and you're like, yeah, I'm not surprised you're bloated and not really pooping or whatever, right? Let's implement some simple carbs here.
I see that all the time. I'll have someone come in, we're reversing, and they're at like 150 carb. And they're like, I'm so full. And I'm like, what are you eating? And they're like, broccoli. And I'm like, okay, homegirl. We need to incorporate some other stuff in here, and that'll help. So I would say that I'll start with the gaining phase and just kind of like what I do there. One, taking care of your body, obviously, and being able to get in the nutrients, but not being afraid to have some fun with it. Because I mean, in my first gaining phase, I definitely went a little hard on the Pop-Tarts, right? Like I didn't need to have 2 packs of Pop-Tarts a day in college. That was probably not, but it was what I could get at the dining hall. And so like that's what worked. But in this era of my life, I always think about it as like I have my flex room and then I have my essentials. And so once I hit my essentials, I can go and I can have some fun with the flex room, right? And so with that, I'm hitting my fiber, I'm making sure I'm getting at least 2 to 3 servings of fruits and veggies throughout the day. And then I am going towards like, okay, now I can incorporate some cereal, which is like, one of my favorite things in the entire world. I fucking love cereal. And so I'll have some cereal. Or, I can't have gluten. That's a thyroid thing. That's a whole separate thing. But I like my gluten-free bagels and bread. Like that's really fun for me to have. Every single day for probably the past 4 years, I've had cream of rice for my pre-workout. I just am obsessed with it. I absolutely love it. I work with Flavor Gang, so their cream of rice is my freaking favorite. And I eat that pretty much every single day, but it tastes like you're eating a brownie for pre-workout. Like it's awesome. So incorporating that type of thing and just not being afraid of the lower volume carbs, because I think that even if it's a subconscious thing, if people are coming from a background of dieting and a dieting history, they're afraid that they're going to be hungry if they don't only eat satiating foods. And that fear of being hungry is going to keep you stuck because you're going to be so full by the end of the day that you're going to feel uncomfortable. And then you're going to be like, I hate gaining phases because, I'm always full and I'm stuffed. And it's like, okay, well, what were you filling your macros with? Right. Because it is, probably really, really helpful for me if I'm adding, 10 to 20 grams of honey onto a meal and incorporating that to get in my food and to get in my carbs. And spoiler alert, Manuka honey also has really good digestive benefits. So like that's really cool too. There are higher calorie and lower volume foods that are gonna benefit you in certain ways, even if that is just, hey, we're keeping stomach volume a little bit lower than we would if we were to rely on something that was like filling, right? That's still a valid benefit to incorporate something into your diet. So that's what I would say for gaining phases. For dieting phases, actually, the biggest tip that I would have there is to not go too hard on the volume. Now, when we are thinking about it, I would say that like still keep that fiber between 10 and 14 grams per 1,000 calories, because I think that what people run into with dieting phases that will make gaining phases that much harder, or dieting phases that much harder because you're used to a certain amount of food volume, is that they'll be in a gaining phase and say you're getting 30 grams of fiber a day. You'll be in a diet when your calories are half that and you'll be getting 30 grams of fiber a day. And then you're starving because when you don't get that, you're not satiated, you're not full, et cetera. Your digestion doesn't know how to keep up with it. It's a ratio thing that you do have to kind of keep in play there. So I would say don't overvolume yourself, but also don't undervolume yourself. It's a fine balance of like, hey, again, hit your essentials and then figure out what you're gonna add in. So, don't only be eating these like protein fluff things that we can incorporate for volume. Like try to balance that out and have whole nutrient dense foods and keep that at the forefront of your diet, because hunger is normal in a diet, but also if you're feeding your body from a macro and a micronutrient standpoint, you're gonna feel more satiated than if you were just trying to fit in all of this crap to like feel stomach fullness, right? Rather than your body just being like, okay, I have the nutrients that I need, sort of a thing. So yeah, that's what I would say on
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing to highlight. And if people don't count macros or protein, more importantly, I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that they make. They just eat less of what they're eating, and then automatically also even cutting down on the protein even further. And of course, we know how important it is to A, hit the protein in order to have that mental health, even just feeling good, and of course recovery, etc. But then on top of that, making sure we are getting the fiber as well. I think that's two really, really important points. And I want to touch on like more mindset things in general, because you already mentioned like hunger is to be expected and so on. I'm curious what's your why for competing. I mean, you alluded to it a little bit in the sense of like you're proving something to yourself and what you can actually do. But yeah, I guess maybe you can expand on your why a little bit if you will.
Yeah, of course. So, I would say that like for that first prep, it definitely was like, hey, I'm gonna prove to myself that I can do this and I can come out the other side. And I think that I went into it with that intention because it was something where I wanted to compete for the first time and be like, do I like this? You know, like I thought that I probably would, but you don't know until you try. And so went into it, did that prep. And now my why has kind of it's almost evolved into just showing myself how capable I am and having that outlet for myself because I'm someone who you know, and it's something that I continuously work on, but you know, I respond to messages almost immediately. I am always there for like everyone in my life and my clients. And like, I love being that person and I love being able to do that. But also sometimes I forget to take care of myself and like what I want and what does Mia want. And my first prep was probably the first time that I physically had to be okay if I wanted this to turn out good. I had to be okay with saying, hey, I need to do this for me, or I need to say no so that I can prioritize me, and that sort of a thing there. And so with competing, it's really given me kind of that allowance and that guidance to be like, if you say that you are prioritizing yourself right now, it's not going to be the end of the world, and you're going to be able to make it out the other side, and people are going to understand, and the people who are worth it are going to stick around. And so I think that throughout that process, like it's really just given me that outlet to you know, focus on bettering myself. And that in turn has bettered all the relationships in my life, my work. I will say that when I'm in prep, I think a lot of people are like, oh, when I'm in prep, I can't handle as much on the work front. And for myself, like honestly, I can handle more because I'm just so locked into that I'm, you know, in that routine and I'm able to really focus on what I'm doing with things. And it's just a mindset shift that I love when I'm able to flip that switch. So there's that. And then I would also say that the nerdy part of me loves the science part. I always say my favorite part of competing is peak week. It's not stage, it's not the prep, it's peak week because you can see like by meal how your body changes. You can manipulate the sodium, potassium. Like I love to do it. I have recently, under the guidance of Alex, who's been so amazing through this process, started to coach competitors and I love it. I love it so much because I get to be such a nerd and so detail oriented with every single little tiny thing. And like that just lights me up and makes me so excited. So that's just kind of like my little passion project of getting to use my brain at very high levels that makes me really fun. So.
Very, very cool. And yeah, your passion is very tangible. I love it. And I'm curious because you probably see that within your lifestyle clients also. I think a lot of people actually find it harder to I guess be consistent and put in the work if their why is not as clear as having a specific date or a competition. And I mean, there is two kinds of people that I think generally speaking, there are some people that they always set themselves the next race here, and then there is the vacation, and then there is the next thing, and so on. And it really motivates them, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. And there's other people that they don't mind just cruising and, you know, just doing it because they're doing it. And yeah, I guess what would you say to the people that are like, I don't feel like my why is strong enough, but I know that I want it. I just don't have like a specific date or like, yeah, they're missing something, you know what I mean?
I would say that it's okay for your why to be a little bit ambiguous. I think that we've gotten into this trap, so to say, of everyone being like, oh, you need to have a SMART goal. You need it to be specific and time bound and like all this sort of stuff. And those are great. Learned about that in school. I have my minor in psychology. I get you guys. I understand what the research says. However, I would also say that anecdotally, I have learned that if you're always trying to be so specific, you put such a pressure on that specificity that you can lose the point because the point is that you want to be your happiest and your healthiest. And if that's it, that's okay. You know, it is okay to have that be your why, but it's got to be strong, right? You know, you've got to have that reasoning behind it. And it's something where it's like, I want to be happy, healthy, and hot. Awesome. Love to see it. But, you know, let's really, really dial into like what that vision looks like because that can be your goal, right? And I think a lot of people lose it because they just have that and they stop there. You know, they stop at like, I want to be happy, healthy, and hot. Okay, cool. Awesome. But like, they don't envision what that version of them looks like and the process in which they are going to take to get there
Oh
because
yeah, I
it's
love that so much. Absolutely. I
Yeah.
mean, and in the end, that's kind of manifestation paired with action taking, and absolutely, like I couldn't agree more that most people they stop there. And I do think that sometimes it's also okay to admit to ourselves that we don't want something enough. And I think like sometimes we think we need to be even leaner, or we should be looking better, we should be X more fit or whatever the thing is. And then when you kind of look into it, they're not willing to give up their 2 nights of drinking and their cheap meal and their this and that. And it's like it's gonna have to come with sacrifices. You can do anything, but you can't do everything. And we need to acknowledge that that everything comes at a cost. There's no solutions, only trade-offs, as they say so nicely. And so I think every now and then I've worked with clients where after a couple of months we were like, okay, we were initially starting off with the goal of cutting to X weight, and now we're just working on lifestyle things and maintaining and optimizing hormones or whatever it might be. Have you run into that with clients as well?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And like I have had multiple conversations with people where they will, find a photo. And like a couple times it has been like me, where they're like, well, how do you look like this or like this photo or whatnot? And I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna be so honest with you. Even in my off season, I'm dialed in, like that the date night that you're going on, or like it'll be a woman who is an absolute badass and has like three kids. I'm like, homegirl, I am 24. Like I am single. I'm living my life. Like I am a bodybuilder. And like those sorts of things. I'm like, I can give you context to this picture. It's even crazier when, I don't have context to the picture. I'm like, I could say like all these things about what she's doing or her genetics or anything of that sort, but like, I don't think that what she is doing is going to be worth it to you, because then you're going to lose this, 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 and this. We can get close and we can get to your absolute best, but if you're not ready to give that extra, 10%, 5%, whatever it is, then maybe we just stop there, because that's okay. That is a okay. You do not have to look like an Instagram model just because, you've seen that photo and that's, what you feel like you have to do. You can still look incredible, right? So it doesn't have to be this specific thing.
Yeah, that is such a great way of framing it. And I too have been asked like a few times, like, oh, how do you maintain lifestyle leanness for all these years? And I'm like, well, you want the honest answer? I've been tracking macros for 10 years without a break. And you're telling me after 2 months of tracking, you want to take a week off from tracking because you need a break? That's cool. But then don't complain about not being consistent or the weight coming back on if you're not even willing to set certain goals. It doesn't always have to be specific macro. And I'm not even saying like I was perfect for those 10 years with my macros. Heck no, but I was tracking. And even if it was a higher day or a day where I didn't hit my protein or so, I still had the awareness and my head was still in the game, as opposed to saying, oh, I need this quote unquote cheat weekend. I never felt like I had to cheat on the tracking because it didn't feel like work. And I mean, as you know as well, it gets so much easier with the time, right? Like if you probably take, I don't know, 2, 3 minutes to track your food for the day by now. And I think most people really are mostly lacking the consistency factor, and they still, even though they might say, oh no, I want this to be a lifestyle thing, they don't really acknowledge or recognize the level of consistency that you just have to bring forward with the basics. You don't and not without trying to be perfect or without being too hard on yourself and trying to do all these harsh adjustments just because one day you feel fluffy and you get into your head and then you want to make a knee-jerk reaction to your macros or so.
Exactly. And it is that like awareness that builds over time that's so powerful and so helpful. And that's something that, like, I was having this conversation with a client the other day, because she has just started, she's doing great, but she's like, I feel like this is taking so much mental energy. And I'm like, I promise you, it gets so much easier as you go. Because at this point, I can look at 4 ounces of chicken breast and know exactly what it is. And I don't have to weigh it. I do, because, I'm competing and I want to make sure that I'm doing my thing. But I don't have to like overanalyze things. Or at this point, I can, eat a reasonable breakfast if I'm, out somewhere, and know that I'm going to be able to hit my macros by the end of the day and not be like 20 grams over my fat. Like that's just, it comes with the time and the building. And, at one point in my journey, I definitely would have been really nervous about like, oh, how do I handle like going on vacation and like not going completely off track, because I just didn't have the awareness. And I'm going to Fiji in 2 weeks, and like it's just a given that I'm not tracking. Like I didn't really talk about it with my coach or my family. Like I'm just like not tracking. Like I'm going to Fiji. Like it is what it is. I'm gonna eat, like whatever. It's fish and rice. It's not that hard. And so that's just something where it's like, we could throw a whole anxiety fit about that, or we could just be like, hey, I've spent the last 6 years doing this, I have the evidence that I can use to go into these life situations with the fitness background and be able to like handle it really, really well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And yeah, I'm curious. You mentioned this vacation now. What else is coming up for you? When are you planning to step on stage again? And what are some of your goals for this year?
So, I have the trip coming up in a couple weeks here. So we've been kind of at maintenance since I did like a 16-week long push phase where I was like intentionally gaining through the fall. Went really, really well. That's, the best gaining phase I've ever had. I don't understand how my body did what it did within that, but we put on some really, really good tissue, which I was super happy about. But it kind of taking a little bit of a maintenance health phase after that, just to give myself a little bit of a pause there, just because we pushed very hard in that. And so that's been since Christmas, and then I'll go on my trip, and then when I get back, we're probably going to go into another growth push and see what we can do. I did switch down to fit model earlier this year from bikini, and so I'm excited about that transition. But even fit model is big, and just with my genetics, I just need more size. And so I really, really want to push that and see what we're going to be able to do. And then depending on the conditioning that gets awarded in fit model, that's a lot of like competing inner workings there. But if they're continuing to award the conditioning that they have currently, there's a fair chance that I might grow into my next show, which is kind of weird, but just something that we might have to do with like the way that my body works and what they're awarding. So I'm like, all right, cool, I'll do what they're asking for. So that's kind of like the thought process behind that. If they start going a little bit leaner, that's really fine. I'll go into a growth, and then I'll, cut back down for a show, and that'll be the approach there. But I'm thinking maybe end of the year. I want to hit a national show and really make a strong run for my pro card next time I am on stage. So whatever that's going to take, it'll really depend on, again, like how my body's responding to growing versus how my body responds to cutting and the direction of the division, all that sort of stuff there. So yeah, I'm excited for the Fit Model Pro shows to start up because that'll give us a little bit more direction. But competing wise, I'm hoping to get on stage this year. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Again, I just, moved back to Austin, Texas, and I'm really excited about it. Love being here, and I have a lot of other stuff to enjoy. So it's like if it works out in my favor to where it's going to make sense to get on stage, I'm game. Like, let's go. If it doesn't, then I will keep doing my thing and growing, and we'll get back there when we can. So yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Sounds like some exciting stuff coming up. And last question, what sort of training splits do you currently follow?
Okay, so this is something fun. If people have listened to Alex and Sue's episode, they might have mentioned like kind of how we do training at PD. But we follow N1's model pretty closely, and that's something where you'll go through different phases of training to kind of deload from each. So neurometabolic and hypertrophy work, some endurance, strength work, et cetera. It's what I take my clients through, and everything that's right there. And so overall, the goal is hypertrophy, right? But you can't be in a hyperphase all the time, or you are going to be extremely under recovered. And so with that being the case, I am currently in a neuro phase. And that is actually, Alex just sent it to me this weekend, so I don't know like what the direct point of this is, but I'm gonna make an assumption here, just because I've been working with him for 4 years at this point, that it is to just drop a little bit of inflammation and focus on some neuromuscular stuff before I'm going on my trip. I'm also training 4 times a week right now, which is going to be a little bit easier to manage with me just like being out of the country for a whole 2 weeks of this training phase, is just kind of like being a little bit less on that front, but kind of recover a little bit. And then I know that we're going to be going back into a hypertrophy phase when I get back from my trip, because we'll be going in and pushing food and getting really strong in hyper work there. So that's kind of the goal there. But yeah, so I'm in a strength phase right now, and then I'll go back into direct like more hypertrophy style training when I get back from my trip. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, I love it. I love the periodization and just in general hearing about the different approaches. And yeah, Mia, thank you so much for your time. It's been a true pleasure chatting with you. And of course, I'll link all your handles in the show notes so people can check out your content and of course also just in general the physique development content. And yeah, thank you for your time. I really enjoyed our chat.
Yeah, this is so fun. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mia. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.